Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Courtney Howe.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
You look at your burglaries, your thefts, a lot of your domestic violence, a lot of your serious assaults. It's all related to this drugs. We got to start putting a lid on this.
Nicholasville Police Chief testified at Ashland Community and Technical College today about Kentucky's opioid scourge.
State Representative Kevin Sinnett says there should be a House investigation into whether Governor Matt Bevin broke the law.
Vanceburg police are getting nearly $125,000 from the U.S. Department of Justice.
In sports, Major League Baseball playoffs are in full swing today.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows near 58 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
First this afternoon, Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear today urged state lawmakers to act quickly on a plan to fight more powerful drugs like fentanyl and carfentanil, which are causing overdose deaths across the state. Beshear testified at the Grayson campus of the Ashland Community and Technical College, where House and Senate members of the General Assembly's Judiciary Committee are holding a hearing on the issue.
We must take action now, an action consistent with the heroin bill that you passed, but that recognizes that fentanyl and carfentanil are different, more powerful, and more potent, and just a tiny amount can do more damage than 2 or 5 or 10 or even 20 grams of heroin.
Beshear is backing legislation co-sponsored by Democratic Representatives Russ Meyer and Dennis Keene. Their bill amends Kentucky's drug laws to create penalties specifically for dealers peddling fentanyl and carfentanil and other designer drugs. It also calls for stiffer penalties on those applied to heroin traffickers.
State Representative Russ Meyer says one of the reasons so many people are dying from opioid overdoses in Kentucky is because the drugs they're consuming are not the drugs they think they bought. The Nicholasville lawmaker says dealers are telling them they've purchased heroin, but addicts are often buying drugs 30 to 100 times more powerful.
They know what they're peddling. It's a business to these people. We all know that. They just don't care, and they're putting our people's lives at risk. The man that sold the fentanyl to the Mount Sterling community knowingly and intentionally distributed fentanyl, but many of the victims did not know.
Meyer says that's why his bill targets traffickers and hits the problem head on.
The drugs that are killing addicts in Kentucky now are so strong that State Representative Dennis Keene says law enforcement and healthcare professionals are worried that they'll run out of Narcan, which is a heroin antidote. Keene is from northern Kentucky, and his district includes the beleaguered Campbell County area.
My police officers in Newport came on to a convenience store across the street from the police station, and this fella had overdosed. And it took 4 shots of Narcan to bring him back. So there's obviously, this is up in the game. This is a game changer.
Keene and Representative Meyer both testified today at the Ashland Community and Technical College.
Greenup County State Representative Lou Nichols is taking up a pilot program that helps drug addicts reenter society after leaving prison. The Democrat was a circuit court judge for nearly 3 decades. He bristles at suggestions that the current opioid scourge in Kentucky is the result of the state getting soft on drug crimes. Nichols says today's troubles began when the state shut down pill mills.
That bill, that impact, that public policy that we had really made a difference. And that is when the heroin epidemic started. It wasn't because we were soft on crime, because I'll tell you what, the American judge incarcerates more people than any other country in the world, and that's a fact.
Nichols says 95% of the people sent to prison are released, and that means if their substance abuse problem isn't addressed while they're locked up, they're more likely to become repeat offenders. He says the reentry program involves counseling, supervision, and monitoring to make sure recovering addicts stay on the right track.
State Representative Kevin Sinnett thinks there should be a House investigation into whether Republican Governor Matt Bevin broke the law when he tried to convince some Democrats to switch parties. Sinnett is one of the Democrats Bevin is said to have approached about joining the GOP. He's from Ashland. House Speaker Greg Stumbo is appointing a special committee to probe allegations that Bevin canceled road projects in the district's Democrats who refused to become Republicans. Sinnett says the matter should be explored.
I can tell you that having looked at my road plan now, that there were 5 projects that were taken out. I mean, stopped, absolutely terminated. And I know that there were right-of-ways bought, and We have one particular area, Ashland Marathon Marine, had built on and added more jobs for the pretty much a promise of a turn lane, and all that stopped.
Sinet says the issue is not personal. He says it's whether a House district has been penalized for political reasons.
Ashland City Commissioners have declared an emergency at the municipal water plant after the recent failure of a second water pump. The Daily Independent reports the pump motor broke down last week, leaving only one functioning pump to draw water from the Ohio River and fill the city reservoir. Repairs are still pending on the first pump, which failed last spring and is costing the city about $20,000 to fix. The same company will perform repairs on the second pump. Ashland's treatment and dispersal system produces about 11 million gallons of water each day. If the remaining pump failed before repairs to the backups are finished, the reservoir could supply the city with water for 2 days before having to use a rental pump.
Residents of a neighborhood in Ironton are trying to get clean water back in their homes after months of unusable service. Phyllis Goody lives on South 6th Street. She told WSAZ the water coming out of her faucet is brown and smells like sewage, and it's been that way since June.
Let's get to the bottom of it. Come on. It's ridiculous. This is not a third world country. It's not acceptable. It's time for all the residents to stand up, come as one, and say we have had enough and we want answers yesterday.
Ironton Fire Department Captain Joe Stevens told the Huntington Station they're working with the water filtration plant to address the issue. He says they have been flushing every fire hydrant in the city since Monday, working to remove sediment that's built up in the system. Every hydrant is expected to be flushed by tomorrow.
A bridge in Estill County is undergoing $247,000 worth of repairs. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler has the story.
According to the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, repairs began Monday on the bridge carrying Kentucky 52 over the Kentucky River. A recent contract was awarded to replace concrete curbs on the bridge. Drivers should expect lane closures during night hours from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. while the project is ongoing. The bridge will maintain one-lane traffic controlled by temporary traffic signals during the day. Motorists may want to consider Kentucky 89 or Kentucky 449 as an alternate route. However, there is also construction along Kentucky 89 north of Irvin. The work should be completed by the first week of November. If it is not finished by November 15th, the contractor is liable for liquidated damages. Reporting from Ward State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blingenbuehler.
Even though Amtrak is postponing a $500,000 project to do some renovations at Maysville's train station, Mayor David Cartmell says the city still hopes to continue on with its part of the project. According to Cartmell, local officials want to make some improvements to 2nd Street, which runs in front of the depot, since that part of town is at the center of a major revitalization effort.
You're filling up these old buildings. Well, these old buildings are built on zero lot lines and don't necessarily have places for the tenants to park. So that's just something that we're wrestling with right now. And it fell in so perfectly with this Amtrak project because the station is, you know, just a block from these areas that we're rebuilding. So anyway, we hope that it comes back around.
Among Amtrak's planned improvements at the Maysville Depot are upgrades to the path of travel from public right-of-way to facility, the replacement of the walkway serving the station's second track, and upgrades to various parts of the building to make it more ADA compliant.
Vanceburg police are getting almost $125,000 from the U.S. Department of Justice through its COPS grant program. Chief Joe Billman says the money will be spent on hiring an additional officer for his department, which will allow him to send one of his lieutenants over to Lewis County Middle and High Schools to work as a resource officer.
We have a guy that's already certified as a school resource officer, has been for a few years. And my plan is hopefully if we can get this guy hired, that we go ahead and get whoever we hire, we get in the academy and go ahead and try to get the guy that's a school resource officer that's already trained on into the school around the 1st of January, if at all possible.
As part of the three-year grant agreement, Vanceburg must spend $42,000 for a fourth year for its new police officer.
A Kitts Hill man has been sentenced to 9 years in prison after reportedly leading police on a high-speed chase and pleading guilty to several other charges. The Ironton Tribune reports that 37-year-old Michael Wyckoff appeared in Lawrence County Common Pleas Court before Judge Charles Cooper. Wyckoff is convicted of felonious assault, failure to comply with the order of a police officer, and theft. The judge also ordered Wyckoff to pay $400 in restitution.
One of the largest domestic violence and outreach facilities in the Fiveco Area Development District will hold its 25th annual Candlelight Vigil. Safe Harbor's event is slated for November 3rd at 5 p.m. at Harbor Hill Cafeteria in Ashland. Agency spokeswoman Jennifer Allen says the main goal of the vigil is to remember victims of domestic violence who've died in the last year.
The event, the Candlelight Vigil, is Thursday, November 3rd, 5 o'clock, here at Safe Harbor in the Harbor Hill Cafeteria. And it's not a long program. It's about an hour in length. And during the program, we light a candle and read the names of the past year's victims.
Safe Harbor's vigil will be held as part of the annual observance of Domestic Violence Awareness Month. This year's event will honor the 32 Kentucky women who died in the last year as the result of domestic violence. Sisters Sally Neal and Marisha Smith will also be honored for their outstanding volunteerism and commitment to Safe Harbor's mission. For more information about the event, call 606-329-9304.
Employer-provided health care insurance coverage is getting harder to find in the Commonwealth. That's according to a new report by the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky, which finds a 10% drop in the number of small businesses in the state to offer health insurance from 2012 to 2015. While more than 98% of Kentucky employers with 50 or more workers offer insurance, smaller businesses are dropping the provision. Foundation President Ben Chandler says that's mainly because there is no penalty for not offering coverage, and the Affordable Care Act is picking up the slack.
From the standpoint of their consciences, they now know that those employees have an alternative because they can get on the exchange and get coverage through the Affordable Care Act.
Chandler says people can get the same private insurance from the federal exchange as they would at work, and despite the drop in employer provisions, the number of Kentuckians with health insurance coverage is up.
Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital's fourth annual Men's Health Expo is coming up. The event will be held October 26th in the Bellefonte Center on the hospital's Russell campus. It will offer area men free health screenings, including prostate, skin cancer, and cholesterol. Kevin Compton is the spokesman for OLBH.
A lot of times men are not that great about taking care of themselves, doing the routine things that could possibly heat off trouble down the road. So in order to find out if there is any issues or to know that you have nothing to worry about, it would obviously be best to get screened.
Compton advises men over the age of 50 who haven't had such screenings to take part. Those who want to schedule an appointment can call 606-833-2273. The OLBH Men's Health Expo will run from 8:30 to 3:30.
Community projects affiliated with the King's Daughters Medical Center got a financial boost yesterday. MSPR's Arlo Barnett has details.
The Daily Independent reports the King's Daughters Medical Center Auxiliary donated over $184,000 at its annual luncheon yesterday to 21 different community projects. The largest donation went to the Newborn Car Seat Program, which gave out 354 car seats last fiscal year. Significant donations were also given to the Emergency Medication Fund, the Home Health Patient Assistance Fund, the Patient and Family Resource Fund, Feeding Those in Need, and King's Daughters Kids Closet. The National Cancer Survivors Day program was awarded $15,000 to use for their annual celebration, and four new projects got money: the KDMC School Healthcare Program, the Heart Failure Clinic Patient Support Fund, a project to print heart surgery education booklets, and a gift shop renovation. Funding for those projects comes from the KDMC gift shop and hospital events. For MSPR, I'm Arlo Barnett.
While Hurricane Matthew continues to ravage the southeastern U.S., one forecaster reports the storm will have very little impact on Kentucky. Dustin Jordan works for the National Weather Service office in Jackson and says any potential effect from Matthew on the Commonwealth will be limited to the eastern part of the state.
We may get some showers towards as far west is like maybe West Liberty down to Jackson and those areas, but really areas any further west in parts of Kentucky would not see anything really from even this cold front that's going to come through this weekend.
Jordan says there will likely be little rain in the region for the next few weeks. He notes that October is Kentucky's driest month of the year. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight partly cloudy this evening, then becoming mostly cloudy later on. Lows will be in the upper 50s. Saturday, sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Saturday night, clear with lows near 45 degrees. On Sunday, sunny and cooler, highs in the mid-60s. Sunday night, clear with lows in the mid-40s. Taking a look at area temperatures, it's 80 degrees in Ashland, Inez, Lexington, and Winchester, 81 degrees in Flemingsburg, and it's 81 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And looking at our feature segment this afternoon, homes and businesses in Kentucky that have gone solar will be open to the public tomorrow as the 2016 Kentucky Solar Tour takes place. Kentucky News Connections' Greg Stottlemyer has more.
If you've ever thought about going solar at home or at your business, Saturday is the perfect time to see how fellow Kentuckians have done exactly that. There will be tours tomorrow in Bowling Green, Elizabethtown, Lexington, Louisville, and Northern Kentucky, where you can see how others are harnessing free energy from the sun. Robert Chatham, one of the tour organizers, says solar has become very cost-effective, providing both economic and environmental advantages.
We're just trying to let people know that you have choices and that solar, one, does work. And second, solar is very competitive, if not better, than the pricing that you're paying now for your utility bill.
Chatham says the cost of solar has dropped 50% in the last 5 years, and customers, residential, commercial, and industrial, can take advantage of a 30% federal tax credit. For tour locations, go to the Kentucky Solar Energy Society's website at kyses.org. Chatham, an energy consultant, says Kentucky is playing catch-up when it comes to solar, with only about 0.1% of the state's energy coming from solar. He says people are often told it's too expensive and doesn't work, claims that Chatham and other solar advocates are eager to dispel.
You can't look at solar like a swimming pool or updating the kitchen. You have to look at it as an investment. Unless you're going to just go in a cave and not use any electricity. And they're low interest rates. You can get 2% loans on some of these systems.
Chatham says he installed 18 solar panels in the roof of his Louisville home last year, and they provide about 60% of the power he needs. His is among 40 homes and businesses that will be on the Louisville part of Saturday's Kentucky Solar Tour. I'm Greg Stottlemyer reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
The time is 4:47, and you're listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Courtney Howell here, and I'm glad you're with us on this Friday evening. Stay tuned at 5 o'clock for All Things Considered. MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez has sports. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowland County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and near the Morehead City Park. The Rowland County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud with homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. More information at 784-5457. The Rowland County Farmers Market is a certified Kentucky Proud Market.
The Jays fly over the Rangers. Good evening. Reporting from Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez with your sports report. There's a full slate of games today in the Major League Baseball playoffs. In the first game of the day, Toronto beat Texas 5-3 to take a 2-0 lead in the series. The Red Sox and Indians just got game two of their series underway in Cleveland. 31-year-old ace David Price is on the mound for the Red Sox. 18-game winner Corey Kluber is going for the Indians. At 5:30, the Los Angeles Dodgers and Washington Nationals take the field. Clayton Kershaw will pitch for the Dodgers. The Nationals are going with 20-game winner Max Schuster. And in the final game of the day, two of the National League's winningest pitchers square off in tonight's series opener between the Giants and the Cubs. AP correspondent David Schuster reports.
It will be Johnny Cueto against John Lester as the Giants and Cubs open up their best-of-five National League Division Series. Cueto was 18-5 during the regular season. Lester was 19-5. The Giants are certainly battle-tested, having won the World Series in 2010, 12, and 14. The Cubs, meanwhile, have gone 108 years without a championship, but they did have the best record in the majors this season, winning 103 games. These two teams played seven times during the regular season, with the Cubs holding a slight edge at 4-3. David Schuster, Chicago.
Rowland County's football team has a district contest at 7:30 tonight at home against Boyd County. Coach Gene Peterson admits for his 0-6 Vikings, it's important that something good to happen for them early in the game to boost their confidence.
It is, and, you know, basically I think the execution, you know, for us to go out and just execute our plays and be confident in what we do, and I think that's what we have to work at.
Boyd County is 3-3 this season and coming off a 55-7 drumming at the hands of rival Ashland Blazer last week. In other area prep football tonight, 5-2 Greenup County challenges Class 4A's top-rated team, unbeaten Johnson Central, on the road. Greenup coach Scott Grizzle knows the Golden Eagles' offense will attack his team with its smash-mouth running attack, which is averaging almost 360 yards per game.
They pretty much say, here it is, you know, try to stop us. So, you got to get guys in the box. You got to try to hit some gaps on them and be aggressive, but at the same time, you don't want to do anything out of the ordinary that, you know, your kids aren't comfortable with or that would make them think too much out there. We want our kids to play fast.
Elsewhere, East Carter is at Ashland Blazer, Lewis visits Bath, Fairview travels to Paintsville, and Russell hosts Pendleton County. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenyer believes there may be one major key for his Eagles tomorrow as they look to knock off PFL rival Dayton up in Ohio. Tenyer says MSU's offense must be good at converting in third down situations.
The key with that, obviously, is not being in third and seven, third and eight, third and 12. You know, when we're in manageable downs, we're pretty good. So we've got to do a better job, and it comes down to being more consistent on early downs. And then, you know, we've got to be 45 to 50% on our third downs to be successful, keep our defense off the field, and change field position. And so that'll be important this week.
Both MSU and Dayton are 1-1 in the PFL, and tomorrow's loser will likely find their hopes of winning this year's conference title on life support. The game kicks off at 1 p.m. at Welcome Stadium. Kentucky will try to return to the .500 mark tomorrow when the 2-3 Wildcats host Vanderbilt at 4 p.m. Coach Mark Stoops says one thing the Cats will have to do is match the Commodores' effort.
They played really hard. They do a good job. They, Florida missed some opportunities again and playing with a backup quarterback now, but Vandy, will do that. They got some very big guys in the front of their defense.
As for the 7th-ranked Louisville, the Cardinals are taking this weekend off. Morehead State basketball coach Sean Woods wants his new starting point guard to take charge of his team. Woods thinks sophomore Malik Maitland can do that, noting he demonstrated that skill late in last year's CBI when he had to take over for the injured Corbin Collins.
Oh, that's big, you know, and I just told him, you know, the ball is yours now, you know, and you got to take the bull by the horns, and this is your team. And you got to act like you got to grow up right now. You know, you don't have Corbin or Brent to lean on anymore.
Like Collins, fellow guard Brent Arrington is no longer wearing an MSU uniform, having graduated. Maitland averaged nearly 5.5 points a game last season, notching 12 points and 9 assists in the Eagles' overtime loss to Nevada in the CBI's championship game. The Morehead State soccer team will look to get its first conference win this Sunday when they face Eastern Illinois at 1 p.m. Despite the 2-1 double overtime loss to SIU Edwardsville last night, Coach Warren Lipka is proud of the fight his Eagles have shown and believes they are maturing in their game.
You know, it's just growing pains, you know, and I got faith. I think this team, I like this. I think this group is going to continue to get better. You know, of course, everybody wants to see it happen now and in this season. So do I, but I'm really excited about what's going to continue to happen for this team.
This weekend's contest will also honor the team's senior players. MSU is 0-4-1 in OVC play and 3-9-2 overall. The Panthers are 4-8 overall, 1-3 in OVC play. And finally in sports, after coming off a 3-0 win over Murray State, the 6-11 Morehead State volleyball team will start a weekend series in Weatherby Gym with a contest against Belmont tonight at 7 and Tennessee State tomorrow at 2. Belmont is 12-7 overall and 3-1 in conference play, while Tennessee State stands at 10-9 overall and 2-2 in OVC play. That's a look at sports. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle volleyball and soccer are home this weekend. Volleyball hosts Belmont at 7 p.m. tonight and Tennessee State at 2 p.m. tomorrow. Soccer will host Eastern Illinois at 1 p.m. Sunday. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed lower in choppy trade as Wall Street digested a weaker-than-expected employment report and kept an eye on falling oil prices. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 28.01 at 18,240.49. The S&P 500 was down 7.03 at 2153.74. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 14.45 at 5292.4. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. U.S. crude oil was down 63 cents, finishing at $49.81 a barrel. Gold futures were higher for much of the day, although they finally finished slightly lower. The non-farm payrolls report showed that the U.S. economy added 156,000 jobs last month, and the unemployment rate ticked up to 5%. Economists had expected 176,000 new jobs would be created, while the jobless rate would hold at 4.9%. And this total was a decline from August, which was upwardly revised to 167,000 jobs. Average hourly wages pushed higher, rising at an annualized rate of 2.6%, and the average work week also inched up one-tenth to 34.4 hours. And market expectations for a December rate hike by the Federal Reserve were above 60% following the payroll report's release, according to the CME Group's FedWatch tool. Elsewhere on the data front, the Commerce Department said August wholesale inventories fell more than previously reported, and investors also kept an eye on the British pound, which fell more than 6% in 2 minutes against the dollar overnight, hitting fresh 31-year lows. In Asia, the Nikkei was down 0.25%, while Shanghai was up 0.25%, and European markets were mostly weaker, with the exception of Britain's Financial Times Index, which was up 0.625%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Goldman Sachs and Travelers, and your worst performers were United Technologies and Home Depot. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Gap and Frontier Communications, and your worst performers were Tyson Foods and PPG Industries. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 66 cents at 117.24, CSX down a penny at 31.05, AEP down 46 cents at 61.79, Marathon Petroleum down 58 cents at 41.78, AK Steel up 7 cents at 4.68, and Community Trust Bank was up 17 cents to finish at 36.94. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight partly cloudy with lows near 59 degrees, Saturday sunny skies with highs near 69 degrees, Saturday night clear with lows near 45 degrees, Sunday sunny skies with highs near 65, Sunday night clear with lows near 45 degrees. And for your Monday, sunny skies with highs near 69 degrees. Monday night, mostly clear with lows near 49 degrees. And Tuesday, sunny skies with highs near 75 degrees. Taking a look at the current temperatures around the region, Ashland is at 80 degrees. Flemingsburg is at 81 degrees. Inez is at 80 degrees, along with Lexington and Winchester. And it is currently 81 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University. That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Arlo Barnett, Nathan Gutierrez, Brexton Howard, Kyle Blankenbuehler, from the Kentucky News Network, Greg Stottlemyer. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Courtney Howell for Morehead State Public Radio News. All things considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.